Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, Larry Sonnenberg here. I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I'm blessed to be between two doctors, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hey, Jill, Larry.
And Dr. Dave Stoop.
Good to be with you, Larry.
Yeah, these are the two toughest people to do work with. I mean, they are just so tough and demanding all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, we are. We crack the whip on the brakes, right? Keep you in
Put
line, Larry.
Put me in my spot. There you go.
Why'd you take that call?
You know what? I want to go right to the phones. Sometimes we spend these first few minutes chatting about current events and things going on, but I would like to go and let's talk to Lucy on line six. Listens on KRKS in Denver. Hello, Lucy. How can we help you?
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
yay. My husband and I were at a party, a family gathering a couple nights ago, and he got upset with me about something. He wouldn't hold my hand. The next morning, he won't make eye contact. He's not being ugly. Just, he's clearly upset about something. And I realize this is common. We've been married 22 years, and this has been very common throughout our marriage. And it usually ends up in a big fight because I don't like that.
The silent treatment and avoidance?
The silent treatment, and sometimes, I mean, there was a point in time it went on for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Wow, seriously?
So, well, right, yeah. Like, not no talking, but he was upset with me for a couple of years, so.
And did you ever figure out what that one was?
Yeah, I kind of knew what it was to start with, but I didn't know how to address it, and he wasn't going to let me make it okay. He wasn't going to let me in.
But can you look at how you eventually got out of it as to some insight for maybe now?
Not really, because there were several things that happened along the way that were out of our control.
That so forced that him to reconnect?
So in any case, I asked him, obviously there's something wrong. I must have done something yesterday that upset you. Can you tell me what it was? And he said, well, I must be feeding off of the energy you're giving off. So he switched it around on me. And I said, whoa. And we have been going through a difficult time. But I said, I was not upset about anything. You just flipped that on me. And it ended up in a big fight because he won't tell me. Now, do I have a right? Here's my problem. He tells me all the time that I'm judging him, which to talk to my children, I think I'm the less judgy of the two. And so far in the other direction, it's not funny. So,
well, there's a strategy, Lucy. When a spouse says you're too anything, It's an attempt to get you to back away from being that way so they can be more that way. And it's a behavioral principle. So if he's telling you you're too touchy, it's to get you to focus on not being touchy so he can be as more touchy or controlling.
Or insensitive.
Or
right?
Insensitive,
you're too touchy. Let me be insensitive.
Yeah.
Lucy.
Right.
Lucy.
I am married to an engineer.
Okay.
So that is a factor in this that's strange, and I have a hard time.
Okay.
I'm at the point, honestly, where I just don't know if these issues can be worked through. And yes, I've definitely noticed him saying, I'm this when it's really him that's that.
Okay, Lucy, yeah. We need you to hold the line. We're going to take a break, and after that break, we'll come back and finish up your call. So thanks for calling. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. Dave Stoop and Jill Hubbard answering your questions today.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Lucy. Her husband doesn't want to tell her what's bugging him. And Dave, you've got some thoughts.
Well, I think, Lucy, the best advice is that old saying, to the best revenge is to live well. And by that, I mean you just act as if nothing's wrong. And it could drive him crazy because mm-hmm. he's thinking you're ignoring the issue, and you are ignoring the issue because there's no issue that's out on the table. So if you act as if there is no issue, and he can act any way he wants, and you're going to be up, and you're going to be positive, you're going to be open, and you're going to be kind and loving, and see what happens. Maybe you've already tried that, but I think that's
well. But
the
do you
best
think?
Revenge.
Do you think? Oh, go ahead, Lucy.
No, I have done that before. I just want to know, is this a control issue? Is this
yes,
pattern
definitely.
From childhood? Is this
yes, it's all.
Like he knows mm-hmm. it's unreasonable, whatever it is, and so he's not going to be vulnerable to me?
He's afraid.
It might not be that, plotted out, but it's what he does to control himself and the situation and others. So he's retreating like, a turtle draws into its shell. And you can't get in, right?
And the primary emotion behind it probably is fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's easily
very
wounded.
Fearful man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's easily wounded, even though he probably doesn't appear that way. Being an engineer, they often appear more, like they don't have as many feelings. They're not real expressive.
I found
typically.
They're extremely sensitive.
But they're very sensitive. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what his father was like and how.
Probably the same
way. His father abandoned the family, but he was adopted by a wonderful man.
Okay.
However, it appears to me as though they weren't really, they were a farm family. Everyone had jobs. Mm. Your feelings were not really
mm-hmm. didn't matter.
A factor
yeah.
in anything.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that he and his brother were close in age growing up, and his brother is very critical.
Mm.
And if you express a vulnerability, he will jump on it.
So have you talked to your husband about counseling?
Yes. I've been saving up for a very long time as far as letting a lot of things go. I'm a Christian. He is not. I let a lot of things go. Like, I only have a couple of, critical needs for myself. Like, these things are important. Mm-hmm. And when he crossed that boundary about a year and a half ago, when I had been trying to address it for several years, I'm hard-hearted at this point. We did go to counseling. I really let him have it. The counselor understood me.
Mm-hmm.
And I let him talk for the first 10 minutes or so, and he talked about how insecure I was and all this other stuff and didn't get to the point of what had caused us to go there. He's an avoider to a degree that I just don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, it's hard for me not to encourage our marriage, intimacy and marriage workshop. That's an amazing workshop. And I don't like to necessarily take radio time to just promote workshops, but man, if you could get him there dragging and screaming, it would still make a difference.
Well, the setting with other couples and men hearing other men is really powerful. Okay. They get to see that, oh, you mean it's not just my wife.
Right.
You mean there are expectations that people have in marriage.
And to hear Mylan and Kay tell their own story
of
miserable life for years before they figured it out.
Right. It's really good. So if there's any way you could get him to do that, that would be great.
I think he'll go. He thinks that going is the... like that's going to fix it.
Yeah, he's going to check it off the box.
That they tell you to do.
Right. Okay. But Lucy, first step is you just got to get him there.
That's right.
And let it speak to him. Let the realizations sink in. Don't be planning. I mean, you know his patterns, and yes, you can probably predict how he'll be. And he is a more task-oriented person. but give this a chance. And I think that, you know, the 2.5 day setting where you're immersed in this really helps to break through more than an hour counseling session. I mean, you need the counseling, right? But I think the immersion to start is really good.
Yeah, the counseling would be a lot different after that experience.
Yeah.
I've set up counseling for myself because I think at this point I'm just trying to figure out, do
good.
I want to stay
good.
In the marriage?
Yeah, I think you should do that.
Before we go to marriage, I've asked him to go to counseling as well on his own. He thinks he knows how to repair something, which is to avoid it. Yeah. And I'm saying it's not working for me. That's not how this is going to get fixed.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think you can get him to that workshop, that's going to be your best hope right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you with that. And I know you said you've been saving up and such, but We do have a scholarship fund, and if there is a need, and if money is an issue, please, when you talk to our folks at the call center, let them know you might need a scholarship, and there's an application and a process, and it's not long
and
drawn out.
It's at least a partial, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Scholarship, it doesn't necessarily pay for the whole thing.
Thank you for that clarification,
It helps for some people who need it.
So thanks for your call. We're going to send you How We Love. Mylan and Kay's
You may
book.
Already have that, but maybe he needs a copy of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I want to go and talk with Jane in Philly. She listens on WPYN out of Boyertown. Hello, Jane. How can we help you?
Hi. For taking my call. I have called you guys before, and you've helped me so much, so that's why I actually contribute to your ministry now.
Thank you.
Yay. Thanks, Jane.
Yes. I just have a quick question. I'm actually I have butterflies bringing this up. I feel embarrassed.
Aww. Well, nobody can see you. Nobody can see you. They just see us.
Okay. You guys have been helping me with my husband and his sexual integrity. He's, watches porn 2 to 3 days a week, and he hit on my friend, which was why I called you guys, and then he agreed to go to counseling. He's not Christian. He does meditation, connecting with God through meditation. I am a Christian. We go to a Christian counselor who's male, and I've seen tremendous changes in him. I mean, he's been so wonderful and dedicated to us and the family, and so I just want to say that, and on Father's Day, I went to a new church. He went with me to check it out to see, if this is something he would be comfortable with our kids going to and everything. And he really enjoyed it. Though he's not a Christian. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was outside when we got home. I was outside with the kids. We had 2 young girls. They were, playing in the water. And to get to the point is that, I came in the house and there was pictures of young women that he was looking at on his phone, and he took it down right away. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to start with the kids. So I texted them that, you know, I was really angry and hurt. I don't want to start a fight in front of the kids. Like, I saw you looking at, you know, young women and blah, blah, blah. And, but the thing that my issue, what I'm presenting to you is I did overreact. It just, I don't know why. It sent me back to, because I took out a credit card so I could pay for medical procedures to keep me looking younger. And I feel like society puts so much pressure on women. Though I'm supposed to trust in God and with everything that's going on.
So Jane, I need to ask you to ask a question. What's your question for Dave and Jill?
My question is why I reacted the way I did. I felt suicidal. I felt like I feel like, oh my God, now I'm going to have to keep up with my Botox appointments to keep looking younger, and
Jane,
all of that.
I'm so sorry.
And he said,
Jane,
go ahead, slow down.
It's not about you.
Yeah, Jane, I'm so sorry, but you know what? It feels like it's about us women because it just cuts to the quick. And, you know, you're trying to be desirable, right? It's like there must be something wrong with you if he's looking at other women. And yet it's the hardest thing for a woman to wrap her mind around that with or without you, even if he were with someone else, he would be doing the same thing. That it's not about... Yeah.
There are issues in his past, and there's reasons that he's doing what he's doing that he doesn't even know.
It's not about your inadequacy. It's about his. He feels inadequate.
Also, it just brought me to a point where the pressures that society puts on women, and people tell me all the time, you're so pretty. Guys come up to me, all the, and I don't care. I don't care about that. I just the pressure of trying to...
But you must care if you're doing the Botox and trying to... Look younger all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't care about how other people... How can I say...
How other people besides your husband.
You want your husband to be attracted to you.
Yeah, right. And I feel like I have to look a certain way in society so I can keep my job. So I had kids like in my late 30s. So I feel like I have to keep looking younger because I'm going to have to take care of them in case he does something. And we don't, in case, like, 10 years from now, he does something off the wall and we're not together. Like, why? I worry about these things and then I get really, like, suicidal. Like, I just want to go home to God. Like, this, why? Like, why am I, like, take it to that extreme? And he told me, he's like...
Okay, let them answer your question.
Because you start to spiral down. It's a spiral that you go down and it's a very familiar path. So you've got to see the spiral sooner and to be able to divert it. But that's kind of that depressive spiral where one thing just dominoes into the next, and pretty soon you've just got yourself worked into a state, and it's so overwhelming, you just think, I want to escape from this. And that's the suicidal ideation. It's more of a wanting to escape.
Okay.
Because that is a lot of pressure.
So what's the thing?
It is a lot of pressure.
What's the thing that can take her out of that when she starts to spiral?
Well, you have to know that you always end up in that same spot, and that isn't really the answer. That's a lie. That's the lie of Satan. And yes, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look your best, and that's a real pressure for women. But when you're completely organized around that, it will take you under. So you have to organize around, you know, the Lord for sure. And there's something about allowing yourself to be a real person and self-acceptance. So your husband struggles with insecurity, and so do you. And you really need some self-acceptance. And, you know, aging can be a good thing. You know, aging, we can age gracefully. We don't have to look like we're 20. I mean, I'm certainly not 20 anymore, and I've had to accept some changes. Right? No, I'm not, guys. You know, I know I started young.
Well, the other thing, Jane, is somehow growing up, you must have gotten a lot of messages about how you looked and interpreted them as saying, I'm accepted because of how I look and not accepted just because of who I am. And that would be something
my mom left him with five kids and he was stressed out, and sometimes he would say, you know, you're a slut and a whore like your mother. And I'm like, well, I was 13 years old. I never kissed a boy, touched a boy, never in my life ever.
I
remember that statement because it hurt so bad. And then after that, it was like I was a little chubby, and I remember him saying I had big hips and saying things. So I went on a diet. I lost like 25 pounds in 6 weeks.
So this isn't even about your husband.
This is about your father.
This is about your dad. And how, because dads make us feel, you know, good about ourselves as females. Dads help us to feel attractive. They help to draw us out into the world. That's part of their role that's so important.
And he didn't do that. He did the opposite.
No, he failed miserably with you in that. And so you keep chasing that illusion of, I've got to be a certain way so that I can be acceptable to my dad.
And then your husband's pornography issues
just feed right into it. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jane...
time to get...
Yes.
Did you say you're in counseling, Jane? Because if not, that's important.
Well, Jane, we're going to come back to you and just finish this up quickly right after the break. So hold on.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Well, Jane, final comments,
Jane. So I was starting to say, if you're not already in counseling, Jane, it's time to get into some therapy, and we can help you with some referrals if you need that. Also want to send you Making Peace with Your Father, the book that Dave wrote. I think that would be very helpful for you. Mm-hmm. And then for your husband, Every Man's Battle. We'll send you that book, and can't recommend enough our workshop for really just getting a handle on this and getting you guys on a much better track.
And the other thing I think, Jane, for you is to find some female friends that are safe that you can...
Mm-hmm. That you can share,
share the hurt process. And feel some affirmation process.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Jane. You know what? Before we go to Heidi, I just want to encourage folks again to make a gift to New Life. We need your support. We are a nonprofit, and we operate that way. We don't want to. We want to operate that we are a for-profit making money, but I say that in jest, but we just need your support. We depend upon donations. And if you make a gift this month, Steve wrote a devotional called 100 Days of Prayer, and we'd like to send that to you. We'd like you to sign up for Club New Life. We have projected that we need 6 Club New Life signups each day that we're on the air. And so I'm asking if you would be one of the six. It's a monthly giving program, $30 a month or more. You get the whole Arterburn Wellness Series as a thank you gift, and you get access to our Club New Life library of videos. And it's powerful, it's effective, it's strong. All of our radio hosts, some of our network counselors have contributed videos to that. So just please, if you can help us, it's really important because it means we get to keep doing what we're doing on this radio program. We're helping people at workshops. We're helping people get to counselors. We're helping people experience life change. And you're a part of that when you give. So thank you. Now, let's go to Heidi. Heidi's on line five. Heidi, how can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a little nervous, and okay. I've spent years listening, and just today I just decided to call. I'm going to start back, make it quick, but I got out of a very abusive relationship. I had two children. A year or so later, I met a man who I thought was just wonderful and ended up getting married. And he mistreated his two stepchildren, my children, pretty badly. And I stayed. We've been together 20 years, married 18. Mm. And I'll just give you some examples. He would change the locks on the doors so they couldn't get in the house when they were young children coming home from school, tell them that this isn't their home, that he's, you know, not their dad, that, you know, that he did not born them, give birth, you know, make them.
Wow.
That he shouldn't.
How old were they when,
they were 7 and 13.
When he was locking them out of the house?
Yes, yes.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And telling them, you know, that they were not, you know, allowed here, basically telling them they couldn't have friends, that he was going to throw them off of the porch if they came.
So, Heidi, did he think this was funny or was he serious? Like, I mean, either way,
he was not serious. Right.
Okay, like I just didn't know if he kind of had a sadistic sense of humor or it's just he's cold-hearted.
No, and I,
yeah, exactly.
And I kept staying, and he kept making me feel that I was the bad guy. But, you know, fast forward, we had, I gave birth. We have two children now. One just graduated high school and is going to go off to college. And then I have a son who will be 16. And, you know, they have witnessed all this.
But, so you have four kids total?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So in 2005, I lost my sister to domestic violence. And
your sister?
During that. That period, I was going through missing the two kids that he was locking out, and I just needed them. And I got them out of the abusive home to bring them to a man that I thought was going to be able to teach them values and love them. And so it's been 18 years. And then, you know, I find out that I don't remember signing a prenuptial agreement. He says, I did. I've asked for the last 2 years to please produce this prenuptial agreement because I would like to read it because I want to see. I don't remember signing it. He says I did. He went and I asked for the last 10 years to please put me on the mortgage and put me on the deed because I'm making a living. I started a nonprofit to honor my sister, and I have just I just feel like I have done everything that I could. I've done
so what's your question?
My question to you is, the other last week I made a decision and I made an offer on a home because I have been asking him to please let's make our marriage one where there is equality, where I feel that this 20 years that I've given you that, you know, he basically says I come with what I leave with. Whatever I came with is what I leave with.
Okay, and your question is?
Your question?
Excuse me? My question is, do I stay or do I move forward with the separation so that he may possibly be able to get himself some help?
So you're buying the house as a part of a separation strategy?
Yes, because I have devoted lots of money into the current home that I'm into, and he's not willing to null and void the prenuptial agreement and go to counseling and do the things that he needs to do. We did go to Christian counseling, And he was, you know, and there's many other issues as well, but they're the main issues. And, the Christian counselors said to him,
We're coming up on a break, so we'll be back right after that break and continue with your call, okay? So hold on, we'll be right back. You're listening to New Life Live.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back and we're talking to Heidi. And Jill, you had some thoughts.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking that there must be abuse in your growing up years for so much abuse to be attracted to you. Yeah, and tolerated. And your sister... So it sounds like this has been a lifetime of trying to find a safe place.
Yes. And the hard part is that, you know, I counsel other women and I take courses on helping other women. And I feel like not like so much a fraud, but just, you know, I'm living what I'm speaking out about other women, how I don't think they should live. And I guess I just...
It's easier to tell other people and it's harder, you know... It's harder to see, and it's harder to deal with it's us.
And I would imagine, Heidi, that one of the things you counsel other women to do is to get legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want you to get legal advice from somebody before you move out of that house.
Yes, before you leave the home.
Okay, I don't know what the laws are in Pennsylvania, but you need to find out what they are and know that what he is saying is probably not true. And somehow you believe him.
Yeah, that's puzzling to us, that you're believing what he's saying about the prenuptial and about you having to leave with nothing. He's just threatening you. It's a way of keeping you under control.
Well, I did ask an attorney, and this attorney did tell me that, you know, in Pennsylvania that, you know, the prenup will stand, but we need a copy of it. And, you know, I do help other women prepare documents in court, motions to have people produce documents. So I did threaten to do that, but I guess
now it's time to follow,
you know,
follow through.
But if there's no if there's no document that he's produced, right, it's only his word, you don't remember signing it, so
he's sadistic enough to threaten you with that whether he has one or not,
right? And if it's a forged document, that's not going to hold up. So either you're going to see something and you're going to remember, right?
Right.
And then if that's the case, that's the case.
The other question I had is, I have such deep hurt because of the way he mistreated my children and myself. And I just don't feel that love, and I feel that I have gained like a masculine like fight here instead of my feminine self, and I want that back. And you know, I guess for me, calling you and having so much trust and listening to the program all the time, and just reaching to my Bible for answers. I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a shot, get some advice on the deep, deep hurt in the wound that I can't be intimate and want to be intimate with him either.
Well, you if you don't feel safe, you can't be intimate.
That's kind of a basic need, is safety, right? So if you truly don't feel safe and all the stuff that is built up, and, you know, we women, we need to feel connected emotionally. And part of that is safety. You need to feel safe with someone to give yourself over to them and to want to be close. So there has to be that emotional sense of, okay, he is holding my heart with care. And I'm not hearing that.
He's kind of pounding on your heart with his fist.
This morning he sat next to me and he said, I want to let you know that I might be able to give you some of the things that you want. And I said, no, how about some of the things that I deserve? So it's just that type of giving me what he wants me to have. So I think you've answered my question. And I appreciate your help, and I will seek more legal counsel.
Oh, good.
Yeah, both legal counsel and emotional support in going through this. You need a team of people that you can feel safe with around you and to give you some guidance in that.
How about we send Take Your Life Back?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Heidi, thank you so much for calling. Well, sorry you're having the time that you're having, but go get that advice and take the next step that's needed. It probably won't be easy.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, say to a spouse, I mean, if he's feeling like she is wanting to leave, his guard is going to be up for sure. But it's like to let a man know what you need to be emotionally close, right? Mm-hmm. Or to be intimate, is that you need to be emotionally close. Sometimes you really have to explain it to them that you have sex this way. This is how I have sex. This is what has to come first before I can engage in that and really give myself to you.
Okay. Let's go and speak with David in Tucson, Arizona. Listens on KGMS. Hello, David. How can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good. What's going on?
Let me give you a brief account of my complicated life. I'm currently in my third marriage. My wife and I have been married for about 10 years now. I had children, a boy and a girl from two other previous marriages. My wife has two children, two young ladies. Well, they're all adults now. Anyway, my problem is that when my son, when he was 18, about 6 years ago, moved in with us from California, my wife kept sending him text messages indicating that he, a derogatory type of text messages. So it all came to a head. My son left, and I just want to see how my wife can apologize to him and at the same time see how my son can forgive her for what happened.
Okay, your son came when he was 18 years old to live with you, is that right?
Yeah, after high school.
And how many years was he there before he left?
How long was he there?
Yeah,
California?
How long?
No, how long was he living with you in Arizona?
Oh, he lived here for about 2 years. Okay. And then he was booted out. My wife came to the point where my wife just said, leave. And he moved in with a friend. And he's doing well, thank God. So this has been biting at us for a long time. We get together with my wife's family, her two girls, and their families, their kids, pictures with them. And, you know, finally comes to the point where my son says, and my daughter says, we're not part of your family.
Oh.
And my daughter lives in Michigan.
What does your wife say about this? In terms of
what does she think about?
Yeah, what is she saying about? Because clearly, it doesn't sound like you guys were on the same page with your son moving in. So clearly, she didn't want
them. It was. We were when I first came back to live here. She said, "I'll love him. I'll love your children like I love mine."
Okay, but then when he actually was there, it was hard for her.
Yeah, it was hard for her because, as I told her, when I had my second marriage, my son's brother, half-brother, I treated him the same way. I said, you know, you can't be impose your will on him. You got to be his friend.
So she didn't know how to be a step-parent. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, I told her all this after the fact when I should have intervened before he moved here, while he was here, and I didn't do my part as a father.
Well, what's the status now? You said you want to see some apologies and some repair.
Well, what I've done, I realize now that this all started because of my actions, my selfishness, my pride. I did everything that I thought should be done, but it wasn't for the benefit of others. It was for my benefit. And so I recently gave my son a letter indicating that, you know, I wasn't a good father, but I'll be a better one, and I apologize for not being a good father. And trying to make him understand that all this resulted from my selfishness and my pride.
But did you talk about specifically what impacted him? Because sometimes we can get so down on ourselves as parents, it's like we're flogging ourselves, you know, in hopes that our kids will forgive us. But I think you should have stepped in and... Go ahead.
Yeah, I should have stepped in. I wanted to protect my wife. I don't want any animosity between the two of them. But what happened is, you know, he was a typical teenager when he was here, 18. He lived with his mom for about 6 years until he came to live with us after high school. So he had his way with his mom. And when he came here, my wife wanted to set some ground rules. I thought, well, let's let him adjust first, and then we'll set some ground rules. And he got a job. He was doing well. And there was just these text messages that she would send him that, you know, he's not making his bed. And
I was going to say, kind of picking at him as if he's a younger child almost.
Right.
And wanting him to kind of conform to her standards of living, which, you know, is understandable to a degree. But you can't do that before you have an established relationship. Yeah. There's no grounds for it.
What's your wife's attitude towards him today?
Well, she says, tell him I said hi whenever I go see him. Tell him I said hi. And but I think she has difficulty admitting that she was wrong. And so that's why I'm taking the weight of this burden, so that she doesn't feel that.
Well, and I don't think it's all or I don't think it's all or nothing. She had a part, and your son had a part, right?
Right.
And he had a part,
and you had a part, you know. And your son's mother had a part in all of this.
Right.
And any transition and blending of families is really difficult. It takes time.
David, we're going to a break. We'll come back and finish up your call right after we have that break. I want to thank everybody for listening to New Life Live. We'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back and we are talking to David. And Jill, you have a couple comments you wanted to say.
Well, David, I think maybe an angle to take in this, and I appreciate that you're willing to take some ownership of not doing the groundwork ahead of time and not intervening sooner. I think perhaps starting with your wife, and I can't remember if you said that you had already apologized to her, but I would write her a letter too, even though you live with her, and just apologize for not seeing that you needed to help her to know how to be a step parent and that you didn't anticipate the problems inherent in that and didn't intervene in meeting both your son's and her needs. Because, you know, it's hard to be a step parent. It's hard to have your environment as a woman disrupted and to feel like somebody's in your midst who is disrespectful. I mean, we women, we get all stirred up over that. And so I think, so starting with apologizing to her and then inviting her to help you bridge the gap with your children. Because ultimately the goal is to not have them feel left out, but to bring them in. And I think to maybe at some point to allow them to say, you know, we want to hear how it's felt. And we're so sorry that in are making choices to change the families that somehow you have felt left out. And just, you know, really appeal to the fact that that wasn't your intent, but you understand that that's how they've felt. Really validate them and invite them to, you know, to maybe come back in and start again.
You know, there's we've had Ron Deal on the radio program at times, and he does a great book on called The Smart Step Family. And he talks about integrating your mm-hmm. your families, not blending them, but integrating them. And That's the pain that you experience, I think, is that your family isn't integrated into the larger family now. And Jill's idea of asking your wife for help, I think, is profound because mm-hmm. She needs to be involved in the healing process. Otherwise, nothing changes because if she's not involved as the parent, the step-parent, everything stays the same. And mm-hmm. you don't want that. And we don't want that for you either.
Right.
Well, let's send that book to him. I think that'd
do we
be
have it.
I hope we do. If we don't, we'll find another book. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that is a good book.
Yeah.
Okay. We have time just for one more call, and we're going to go to line 9 and talk to Kim in Upland, California. Listens on KKLA. Hello, Kim. How can we help you?
Hello. Hello. Hi. My brother is in his early 50s, and he's had depression and anxiety for probably 25, 30 years. He has seen a therapist off and on for medication. But lately he is seeming like he's tired. Last night he said, I wish I had a cancer diagnosis. He's married, has a grown son. But he said, I almost wish I had been diagnosed with cancer and 2 years to live rather than this.
Wow, that's hard. That's really hard to hear.
William Styron, the guy who wrote The Confessions of Nate Turner, suffered with that kind of a depression. He called it a darkness. Mm-hmm. Darkness revealed, and it's very debilitating. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. one of the things, if he's seeing counselor and getting medication, there may be something more going on, and seeing a different psychiatrist may help. But that's an alarming statement. when somebody says that. Yeah. It's scary. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if what he's doing, you know, isn't working or it's not working enough, that needs to be mm-hmm. communicated. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes like a family member needs to go to the doctor with someone to really communicate what the family is okay. seeing and how bad it gets.
And to right? quote him.
Uh-huh. Yes, to quote him, because a lot of times okay. patients go to the psychiatrist, yeah, I'm doing fine, and if they're doing fine that moment, yeah. right, they don't really mm-hmm. paint a mm-hmm. true picture. And so I think the doctor can only treat, you know, what he's seeing and hearing, and so having yeah. more support in that can help to maybe try some different alternative treatments. And sometimes people, mm-hmm. you know, when they just kind of plateau and they have that irretractable depression, there are some things that you can do. You know, there's it's kind of a resurgence of ECT now,
yeah.
Which is a form of shock therapy, and they've become a lot more target specific with it. And I've seen mm-hmm. people really pull through some debilitating depressions.
And if the meds uh-huh. stop working after a while, mm-hmm. that may be an indicator that there's a bipolar
yes.
type thing going on yeah. that needs to be treated as well.
And he would be a unipolar.
His would be just between normal and depressed instead yeah. of without the mania. Uh-huh.
So yeah. go ahead. His doctor.
His doctor retired about a year ago, okay. and they had him set up to see one of the other partners. And I guess a Harvard-trained one, he said. But when he made the call he waited 8 months to call and make the appointment. They yeah. never contacted him. And so his medication is low. He only takes a low dose also because of his job. He doesn't want to have to report anything. And he does all these Ironman competitions.
Okay.
And the exercise and these things are how he manages it. But if you look at him, he looks like this super fit. And he seems like a great guy, but I know this pain, and it's getting, he's speaking more of it. And he said that they handed him over to a PA because that other doctor still didn't have, they were months out. And I don't feel like he has confidence in the PA.
Okay.
Because he said this other doctor was Harvard trained, is that as good as a PA? And then the medication, she'd like to switch his medication, but he's afraid that his work will find out, and how is he going to take time off work? If he had cancer, it would be okay. You'd have to go mm-hmm. for chemo. But
he has a lot of shame about his disorder.
You know, yeah. That's right? A good point.
He's uh-huh, embarrassed. He somehow he looks weak. Care. He's an Iron Man.
You're a freak. Weak. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I think, Kim, he needs some support. Get his wife. Yeah. You go with him. And then, you know, perhaps a depression support group as well. They have those in a lot of churches. That might be something that would be useful,
yeah.
where he could have some of what he's feeling normalized.
And let's send you a copy of Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
In the Arterburn Wellness series, and I think that would be something very helpful to you and your family. Mm. Well, we're coming up on the close of the program. I just want to say once more, we need your support at New Life. And if you're able to make a gift, if you're able to join Club New Life, it makes all the difference. Helps keep this program going. It helps keep our workshops going. It helps keep us with our counseling network and referring people. And all of that is designed to help people experience a new life in Christ, to experience transformation, to just have a change of heart and change of mind. So we need your support. And I want to close with a scripture out of Ephesians. Paul writes to the people at Ephesus, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." We believe that here at New Life. And I don't think enough we believe that power that raised Christ from the dead is really available to us. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you that is available to you. And it doesn't always mean that you're going to do nothing and it happens. It usually means you have to take a step.
We have to do our part while relying on the power of the Lord.
Yeah, and I love that phrase that we are waiting for God to do what He's waiting for us to do. Mm-hmm. Take the first step. Confront somebody lovingly. Go to a meeting. Talk to friends. Process.
Do something different to change your circumstances.
Yeah, get out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. We love what we do here. We love that you're supporting us. We love that you call us. If you're on hold listening, we'll get your call in the next program.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.